The time is 1:40, the date being 5 May 1983. The place is room 124, the Judiciary Hearing Room, located in the Capitol Building in Juneau, Alaska. Present for the hearing today are Representative Hayes, Representative Liska, Representative Coxon, and myself, Representative Bussell. Matters scheduled at hearing today are House Bill 84, an act relating to smoking in public places. House Bill 375, an act relating to access to certain criminal justice information. And House Bill 360, an act relating to permits issued for games of chance and contests of skill. It's a pleasure of the chair to deal with House Bill 84 as a first order of business for consideration by the committee today. We've had hours and hours of testimony on this, and we have piles and piles of input from the public in the form of writing from literally one end of the state of Alaska to the other on this matter. At the risk of being called for disagreeing with the remarks just made on the floor a little while ago about numbers of POMs guarding concerning situations or bills, it's certainly this committee's experience to have more POMs expressing interest in this bill than any two other bills that we've had being considered here.
Smoking bills?
Including the drunk driving bill. This has by far and away been the most most talked about and the most input. I know we have a number of people who have signed to observe or comment, but the committee has taken so much comment on it, and that any comments you make are going to just be repeats of all we have, and as you know, the work of this committee as well as the legislature is in such a posture now that we need to move legislation along, and it's our opinion that that's what should be done with this piece of legislation today. Representative Clarkson?
Mr. Speaker, can you tell from the sign-up sheet whether people are wishing to testify in favor or in opposition to the legislation?
They all are in favor. I have no against checks.
I guess I would, as one of the advocates of this legislation, indicate that whoever those people are, I think this legislation is in pretty good shape, and judging the period of time left in the legislative session, if it does move out of this committee real soon, there's a good chance it won't pass. So I guess I sort of want to endorse the comments of the chairman that if you're in favor of this legislation at this point, the best thing you can do is sit quietly and watch us move it out of this committee.
The committee substitute, which is extensive, has been prepared. We did circulate it and allow about a week because the changes were extensive. Representative Clarkson's staff has looked at it. The judiciary staff has looked at it. The committee will need a motion to adopt the committee substitute, Mark Work Draft Hind 412-83. And it's accompanying fiscal notes, which are new and pertain to it. These are recent fiscal notes gotten from the various affected agencies. I'll need a motion to adopt this committee substitute. Representative Clarkson?
I'll move to adopt the Judiciary Committee substitute identified as 412-83.
And ask unanimous consent?
I was hoping not to because I want to make a comment on it.
Okay.
There may be some technical problems on page 4 with the penalties section. As the chairman knows, we've spent considerable time over that with a number of changes. I just wanted to advise the committee that I'm not completely happy with it technically, but I think that we do need to get the bill moving along, and that I don't want anybody to think I'm working behind your back if I go over and try to clean up some of that on the other side. It certainly reflects, I think, the intent of this committee to generally expand and add to the remedies for a violation of the no smoking prohibition, but there may be some difficulty in implementing it. But having said that, I think that it's appropriate to move it out of the committee.
Okay, the staff has done a lot of work with the departments that are going to implement this, so if you discuss those changes in finance with the staff, I'd appreciate that. Do you have any objection then to unanimous consent?
No, I ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? There being no objection, committee substitute for House Bill Judiciary, 84 Judiciary, an act relating to smoking in public places, is adopted and is before the committee for discussion. Representative Coxon?
You prepared for a motion?
Yes, I am.
I think the appropriate motion would be to move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 84 Judiciary be moved from the committee with a due pass recommendation.
Is there objection?
And ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? There being none, House Bill 84, Judiciary, an act relating to smoking in public places, was moved to committee with recommendations. This is such a voluminous file that I'm going to detach this and maybe just put it to the actual sheet itself. Put this all together. If we brought the PLMs involving this to the table, we could probably hardly put them on. Is he here? Before we take up the next order of business and while we're signing the sheet, the committee would like to thank all of those people who have unselfishly put in a lot of time and helped reach out and encourage others to help the committee do this. It is a difficult, as you know, piece of legislation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I had indicated to you that I would have to leave at 2 o'clock. Now, about 2:10 or 2:15, if it makes any difference, since there's only the four of us here.
Well, I believe Representative Barnes on our way down, and as we know, we got kind of late, so I presume Representative Malone will finish his evening, will speed his way down, too. If you're perhaps concerned about anything that might move, you could sign the sheets before you left.
Before hearing the testimony, Mr. Chairman?
I'm going to have your remarks made as they pertain to waiving the hearing process on HB 84 as we printed and distributed generally to the state of Alaska. The next item I'd like to take up at this time is House Bill 375, an act relating to access to certain criminal justice information as it was scheduled. Jim Wood is here representing the sponsor, Representative Barnes. Where is my bill? House Bill 375 is an act relating to access to certain criminal justice information. Mr. Wood, if you'd care to take the seat at the end of the table. Since we are recording electronically, I need you to state your name for the record prior to making any statement on the subject and proceed in a manner such as you will, please.
My name is Jim Wood.
And then proceed with the statement on the subject if you would, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm appearing here before you to beseech you to help with a very serious social problem that besets our society. I was initially spurred on in this activity by a group who represents a concerted group of citizens who are very much concerned with sex abuse of children, child molestation, and related activities. I have received from those folks a total of 689 petitions that have gone to several other legislators as well. There are four parts of the petition. If I may be permitted to read the petition, the hearing today deals explicitly with only one section of that petition. We, the undersigned Alaskan voters and citizens, petition our legislators to enact legislation which would change sexual abuse of a minor from a Class C felony to a Class B felony. As a Class C felony, it doesn't require stiff enough penalties. Number two, we urge that you toughen the laws on enticement. There is presently no law against soliciting a minor for sexual favors as long as there is no body contact, be it for personal or commercial intent. We request that you pass a strong law against the soliciting of minors for sexual favors by adults. We also ask that you pass a bill that an employer, upon request, be provided with the criminal records of sex crimes of anyone applying for a position where they would have supervision over minors. That is the specific one that this bill addresses. Number four, we petition that our judges be disciplined when they hand down unreasonably light or suspended sentences in criminal cases without justification. We believe Alaskan judges deviate too much from the Alaska Criminal Code. We urgently plead for prompt action on these petitions because crimes against our children are of epidemic proportions and criminals are going unpunished. Mr. Chairman, I believe the most pertinent information on this topic is contained in folders that is placed before each member of the committee, and they are available as a handout to the public. An article from the Anchorage Times of 5 March 83 entitled Suspects Arrested in Sex Cases. It details several cases where people, under the guise of altruism and helping, have taken advantage of state agencies in obtaining access to children for the purpose of abusing or molesting them sexually. There are at least three instances on here. I won't belabor it by reading the entire thing, but it begins, a man who allegedly used state agencies to procure juveniles for sex has been jailed. Acted under the guise of helping youths he had obtained through legitimate channels, police said. Held on $40,000 bail is Hensley L. Pat Patterson, charged on two felony counts of sexual abuse of a minor, one felony count of contributing to the delinquency of a minor, and five misdemeanor charges of contributing to the delinquency. We see the pattern repeated in the case of Robert Elstad. We see it repeated once again with Vincent Brown. Vincent Brown, a rather notorious case, was the assistant director of the Boys Club, who used his job to come into contact with boys that he allegedly molested sexually, according to police. The record is clear that the deviants are well aware that under the present law, there is no way that an agency utilizing the services of volunteers or employees could have knowledge of this type of activity. The person could have a rap sheet a yard long of sex crimes against children, and the prospective employer would have no way of knowing it. House Bill 375 would remedy that situation. It is patterned after a law that I understand was successfully enacted in California a couple of years ago, and I presume has stood any test of legality or constitutionality, although I do not pretend to possess the expertise to judge it in that character. Mr. Chairman, I believe that the need for this bill is self-evident. I cannot conceive of any member of this committee who could be opposed to this legislation.
With that challenge, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Chairman, what commission is this? I don't have time. I haven't gotten the statutes. This refers to an employer may request from the commission records of all convictions. What commission is that?
Criminal justice.
Criminal justice. The whole statute, I believe, is all.
There isn't any criminal justice commission, is there?
Right. They are the commission that is appointed to safeguard information of this type and to preclude its improper release.
The Criminal Justice Planning Agency is no more. There's the Judicial Council, the Commission on Judicial Disqualifications. I'm not sure which of these would have it in it. Of course, we want to make sure that it's the right information, so maybe we can just hold on that question.
I do have an answer to that. Representative Barnes had asked that question of me.
Well, we can just look up the statute.
I have an answer. But that is the essence of the answer.
The word employer is defined to mean a nonprofit corporation or other organization specified by the commission, which employs or uses the services of volunteers. Is the way you read that that it would be only nonprofit corporations or other nonprofit organizations?
Well, I thought the wording of that did look a little strange at first glance, but upon rereading it, I believe it covers volunteer workers or people who would be gainfully employed, that is, would be remunerated for their services.
Well, I'm not talking about the person we're seeking to expose here. I'm talking about the employer. The definition would appear to eliminate some partnerships, profit-making corporations, other organizations that very well, in fact, do deal with juveniles. For example, some of the group homes in the state, I think, are profit-making. that, let me ask what the intent is. Let's put it
well,
that way. What's the, is the intent to have employer cover anybody who employs persons or uses services of volunteers in positions in which they have supervisory or disciplinary power over a minor?
Yes.
And the definition, I think, needs some work.
Well,
I think it's limited to nonprofits, and if that's not the purpose, then we've got to expand it.
Or other organizations specified by the commission, I would hope that we would have some input into those organizations specified by the commission, and that it would be all-inclusive. But it's a good point.
Yeah. Again, I think it may be just a grammatical issue, but I think the way that sentence is worded, it would mean nonprofit corporations or other nonprofit organizations. I think that's the way the grammar works. And if that's not the intent, we need to take a look at that. Is the Governor's Commission on the Administration of Justice still in existence?
I believe it is.
I seem to remember that it was in appeal. Let me just check that real quick.
I think it exists. I don't know how active it is.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Representative Clarkson's got a good point here. Now, let me give you a case in actual happened in West Hill about 2 years ago. School bus driver, and that wouldn't come under a non-profit corporation by any stretch of the imagination. School bus driver up there was convicted of molesting small children. And apparently this has been going on. It's not only in West Hill, but throughout the all the states, really. I mean, but who would be in more supervisory capacity than a school bus driver with small children? I think we got a good point here. That should be fairly clarified here. Nonprofit, I don't think is what we want in there. We want it in there, but it's not just nonprofit.
On another question. The only concern I have about the commission is that we be sure that these are up-to-date records. And do we have someone that's going to testify, or do they have a position on this or something?
The only position we got was from the position paper on behalf of the administration came from Commissioner Sundberg, it's a short position, and he's in favor of the legislation.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, if I can, I'm not sure I'm in favor of it for some points hopefully we'll get to, but if it is going to pass, the best we can, the most we should do is make sure that it's the most accurate information, since they're going to be releasing it to the public. My only question would be to assure that whoever it is that employers get the information from, that it be the best information available. And I'm not sure that it's the commission. It seems to me we just put some money into a computer system, and I'm not sure that's operated by the Governor's Commission on the Administration of Justice. And it's just a question I would raise. We want to make sure that the information would not be obsolete.
I would guess that any information an employer got, he would definitely verify before he attempted to use it and not rely on the commission's statement of whether it was recent or old or whatever. I obviously can't speak for every employer, but if I got a document from the state, I don't necessarily think that it's because it's from the state, like reading something in the newspaper, it certainly isn't fact. And before you use that against an employee, you talk on cautious of what you do.
Well, I think that you're being very responsible. I would just suggest that that's not necessarily what would happen with a lot of employers, particularly employers, fairly small employers with a few employees. They're going to assume that information is absolutely accurate, and it's going to result potentially in a pretty severe action being taken against someone. So I just like to see the information be as accurate as possible.
How do you propose to...
Well, I guess the best way to do it is ask somebody that's on the commission how accurate their information is, how they get their information. But I really would encourage that, because mistakes would be a terrible thing here.
Mr. Chairman, I see no recourse for people other than the commission. It would seem to me that if the commission is inept in this activity, that you might assume that there would be in others, that our only problem is to... if we have faith in the commission, then I see no problem with entrusting them to do their job in this regard.
If you have the commission, you've got to trust it, otherwise
we
just won't.
Right, we can't have another commission to back them up to see if they're accurate.
As I understand, let me just confirm this. I understand the thrust of this is that if anybody has been convicted in the past of a sex crime, which is defined in here, that that information should be available to an employer.
That's correct.
I've reviewed the articles you have, and I have not reviewed your petitions, but the circumstance covered by the legislation does not relate to any of the material presented to us. And the reason for that is that none of those cases, at least assuming we're depending on newspaper stories, none of those cases involve a person who had a prior conviction for a sex crime of some sort. All they talk about two or three different cases in this article, and all of them appear to be first offenses. And I'm certainly not condoning them, but the point is I don't think the bill would have told the whoever they're working for here, the Cook Inlet Native Association Youth Center, this bill would not have provided enough information for them to know that this person was going to assault children.
I'm not sure that the newspaper articles differentiate or say, speak to whether it's second, third, or fifth offenses, it's just an offense occurred.
I believe Representative Clarkson has made a very good point in support of our bill, in that in all probability these people did have some prior convictions, but because we have no law that would permit anybody to know of that, they are not permitted to put it in the newspaper, nor are the authors of the article permitted to have the information. I think it makes a very good case for our bill.
Mr. Chairman, when I go back to this school bus driver in Wasilla, now you quote two people there that's probably a first offense. That individual driving that school bus, I believe they found he had 10 offenses.
Then he'd be covered by the bill. That's fine.
He'd be covered.
Don't have any problems.
Senate Bill 535 last year covered him pretty good now. They can go back and pick up his previous convictions and put it to him.
Representative Clarkson?
Well, let me just say that what the witness has said is not supported by the evidence he's presented. That is, there's no evidence in here of prior convictions or prior arrests. I know full well that information is occasionally released in the newspapers, so there's no reason to think it wouldn't be in here. The one article which has the picture of the young child article we received would not apply because there was no employer-employee relationship. This person was arrested several times for sexual assault of minors and then proceeded to kill a two-year-old child, but that was basically a kidnapping and killing situation. There was no employer-employee relationship. So again, it wouldn't be affected by this bill.
I know you have to leave, and there are a couple of other witnesses. Mr. Wood?
I wanted to state, Mr. Chairman, that I concede that point. There are some other pieces of information that deal primarily with the other portions of the petition that I read. They do not deal explicitly with this portion.
Representative Clarkson would be exposed to the other witnesses because he has to leave. Unless you have further statements or there are further questions at this time, I'd like you to stand by and then we'll... this appears to be Dennis...
My name is Dennis?
Well, maybe I'm not saying that right.
Denise?
Is that
right?
I can't read the last name either.
Linda Evelyn,
you know? These might have been people in 84.
It could be.
Who's the person?
These are Juno addresses. Signing somebody the way you're trying to check. Maybe I'll put Frank on there. Are there any other people here that wish to make a statement on House Bill 375?
I'm sorry.
If not, okay.
There's at least one change that needs to be made. I assume you're not going to move it today.
Well, I don't know how extensive the change is. If it's a change we can administer or handle, then you know, we have a sponsor here, you know, kind of yield the pressure to whatever pressure might be. Do you want to further discuss that change? It doesn't appear to me like it's too much if you're going to add some more corporate language. Mr. Wood, perhaps you'd like to come back just for a moment there. Let's try dealing with that.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make one statement, if I may. Representative Clarkson seemed to be concerned that we are going to hinder the reputation of someone who has no prior convictions. I have one case here where a fellow had 43 counts against him, if he would like to review that one. But I understand that we would have input into the commission of in the defining of the people to whom the information would pertain. That is, that certainly we would be allowed to advise the commission of what the legislative intent was pertaining to this bill, and that the following agencies should apply. But I do concede that he has a very good point in that there ought not to be any ambiguity here. But it would seem to me that we could go ahead with this and follow up with that definition for the commission to insert into their records.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, just to make it clear, I think that we should insert the word profit or nonprofit corporation.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Well, that's better.
We still have an unincorporated agency, though, that is not covered.
Mr. Chairman, I have no objections to us holding the bill over so that we can clean it up if that's what you would like to do.
As I say, I'll just yield to the pressure, whatever you like. If there's simple changes that we can handle, I will do. Representative Clarkson?
I just want to make my little pitch. We've argued about the annulment of regulations. This is a perfect example of a situation. If we don't clean it up now, a year from now, we're going to see some regulations that aren't what we wanted. We had to clean it up first rather than have to go through the process of knowing where it
is. I have no objections to doing it, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any other points in this thing, Representative Clarkson, that seem to fly out at you other than that we would want to put...
Does the site... Mr. Chairman?
Maybe Representative Clarkson?
Do the citations on page 2, lines 25 and 26 relate only to child sexual assault, or is that all sex crimes? Or
I checked those with the prosecution, and 41.10 to 41.45 are the various degrees of assault, incest, and unlawful exploitation of a minor are the three topics involved. And 4 degrees of sexual assault in those sections.
The question is whether they're sex crimes against adults
minor.
Are included in that.
They sexual assault is various degrees could be against
that's adult.
But specifically section 455 specifically talks of sexual assault or of unlawful exploitation of a minor that I believe relates to the other preceding sections. And the other ones are 1151-130 is sexual contact between 13 and 16 years of age. And then, of course, 1166-100-138 relates to all kinds of to prostitution, and to prostitution in general. And I don't know if that is, I can't recall right offhand, I guess Jen has a check, the first minors and model of prostitution. If I think it does, but I'll leave that to Jen.
Would any of those crimes be crimes where we would impose the crime upon a minor?
I don't believe so.
Well, the only...
As we check, we'll be particular.
Yeah, the only thing, let me just make my little pitch. I think many of the medical people that work with people who are who commit sex crimes against children characterize that as a particular type of mental state, if you will. And I've talked to a number of them who indicate that there's very little crossover between someone who may have been convicted of third-degree rape, for example, or something against an adult, very little likelihood that that person is going to be involved in sex crimes having to do with minors. So, in the spirit of trying to narrow it, I would urge that sex crimes against minors be the things that we focus in on, because they're a particular weird population that I think you're trying to focus in on.
All right. Having said that, we will direct attention to those points and see if we can't... have this course very quickly and ready. Next item at issue on the schedule is House Bill 360, an act relating to permits issued for games of chance and contest skills. As Commissioner Heath is here, and at this time, Commissioner, if you'd like to take the seat at the far end of the tables.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Sipp. We are recording electronically. I need you to state your name for the record prior to making a statement on the matter.
For the record, my name is Bob Heath, Commissioner for Revenue. Mr. Chairman, we're in favor of this bill. In a modified form, we have proposed a number of amendments and worked closely with the Senate to develop what we believe a workable solution to allowing a Monte Carlo night, such as the most prominent one in Anchorage, without opening the door to all potential abuses. We have suggested the police chief and the local area sign off before we issue a permit, that there be no one issued a permit that has a felony conviction. We have tried to define the types of expenses allowed and allowable to prevent full-time employees having a percentage interest in such a night, and no use of money or cash payments, prizes only, non-cash prizes, and considered a 72-hour time limit for the length of time the event would take place. It becomes a fairly complicated series of amendments, and if I might suggest, Chairman, you might like to designate one from the committee to look over the amendments, and rather than take up the committee's time, that is fairly lengthy.
You're suggesting these are procedural amendments, not amendments to this legislation.
They are amendments to the legislation, and we tried to stay away from, among other things, rulemaking within the Department of Revenue. We tried to go ahead and embody them in the statute.
These limitations you're talking about, they were procedures you were changing to limit or to allow this. They are amendments. They're all one statement.
Yes, sir. They are all amendments to the bill that we're proposing.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Heath, I find in my packet, in addition to the House bill, a proposed CS for a Senate bill. Is this the bill that you worked on in the other body?
Yes, it is. This is the final bill that was passed out, obviously, next to the issue.
And you're recommending that the bill that is before us be substantially changed in the direction of the one that came from the other body?
Mr. Chairman, yes, we are.
In other words, the Senate bill contains the changes you just spoke about.
Yes. I might also add we worked it with Mr. Hopkins as well, who heads up her rendezvous in Anchorage. Yes. And he'll be testifying before you in a few minutes.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rather than me just sitting here and reading this whole thing, would you tell me exactly what this bill does, the extent that gambling is permitted under?
Mr. Chairman? The extent of gambling, the form it would have to take would be similar to the Fur Rendezvous Monte Carlo night, wherein you buy, your entrance fee is X dollars, and you're handed a series of chips. You use these chips at the various games of chance, and if you are a winner, you can buy prizes such as teddy bears and stuffed animals, and in some communities, I understand, one of them donated prizes, and they have an auction at the end of it. Whoever ends up with the most chips bids on a given prize.
Well, isn't that the way it works now?
That is the way it works now, but the Attorney General said it's illegal now.
Okay, but you're not changing it from the
present. I'm just trying to make it tight enough so to prevent any, as close as we can, any possibility of racketeering or commercial operations.
So what does it do to bingo games and things like that that are ongoing right now?
As it is now, it does, I believe, nothing to bingo games.
It doesn't affect any charitable effort?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but just looking at the front page of House Bill 360 versus your proposed bill here, 360 in Section 3 says it except as provided in AS 0515100B, this chapter does not authorize the use of playing cards, dice, roulette wheels, etc. And in the one you're offering, it does authorize the use of those things. the one you're offering on page one, it says the legislature finds that the authorization of the use of playing cards dials the number of wheels and activities dedicating a substantial portion of the gross receipts for political, education, civic, public, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, mm-hmm. is justified, provided that the activities are closely controlled. This one says you can't do it. Yours says you can do it. So you virtually legalize gambling the way I read the bill that you proposed in the Senate.
Mr. Chairman, I assure you that's not the intent. And if I might ask staff here, I don't think that's what we did. It's always possible. Don,
yes.
You give me a hand here.
Really Don.
My name is Donald Fuller, Jr. I'm with the Department of Revenue.
You're right ahead and sit down.
Hi.
Could you hear that?
Representative Barnes, I just looking over your shoulder a minute, I think there is some confusion. What there is, it looks in the double space form, is not in complete bill form, is the original draft of a proposed committee substitute that originally we gave to the Senate State Affairs Committee. Following the submission of this original draft, we worked with Senator Rohde and Mr. Hawkins from Fur Rendezvous and came up with a compromise, which is what you have as the current committee substitute for Senate Bill number 265, State Affairs. And in your specific question, one of the changes between what we originally proposed to the State Affairs Committee and what turned out to be the committee substitute was that it was decided to take out the legislative intent. And it was discussed whether to submit a letter of intent or whether just to let the bill stand on its own. And as you can see in the committee substitute, the bill pretty much stands on its own. The wording in Section 3 of House Bill 360, I believe that was 0515-180A, except as provided in AS 0515-100B. This chapter does not authorize the use of playing cards, dice, and roulette wheels. In Section 2, that is a new subsection that's introduced that would allow the use of playing cards, dice, and numbers wheels.
Representative Barnes, I guess technically what we're saying is, yes, this does allow the use of these devices or cards, however, under severe nonprofit limitations.
Well, the way I read it, almost any organization could apply for it at some point. Be granted a permit to do all these things. By doing so, you, in my opinion, virtually legalize gambling in this state. And to take it one step further, I would like to know why such things as the Fur Rendezvous that has been family-supported, family-oriented type of activity needs to go into the gambling business.
Mr. Chairman, it is my understanding that Fur Rendezvous had a Monte Carlo night since pre-statehood, and they've always used cards, dice, and other devices. I further understand there are approximately 60 Monte Carlo nights around the state, or its equivalent, around the state, and held every year. What we were attempting to do here was, when we determined that this was an illegal activity being carried on, we're trying to legalize what's almost an institution, rather than just put it, say flatly, there are no more Monte Carlo nights, as the AG's office advised us would happen under present statute.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Heath, in Section 2 of this State Affairs version here, I guess what you're saying here, you know, on line 22, qualified organization, you would lump in the Fur Rendezvous as a type of a qualified organization? That would be the only type of an organization, for example, that could actually end up playing cards, dice, and number wheels.
Mr. Chairman,
would it be
our intent to screen on our own the applications and also ask the local police chief to sign off on them before they came to us.
Isn't that the way the permit reads now? You go to the Department of Revenue, get the permit, You can't have it until it goes to the police station or else, it goes somewhere else and gets signed before you can, before they actually give you the number.
Mr. Chairman, I asked Don that question. I don't know the exact procedure present.
That's at least a procedure in Anchorage right now. I went down to the Department of Revenue, and they took the application, but I didn't get anything. In fact, I had to go back and bring the application back in 3 certified copies. All 3 separately sealed. They couldn't be copies of either. And one went to the police. I believe one went to the police department, one fire department, if I'm not right, maybe.
I believe that. I'm not sure about that, but I believe that it just requires notice now. And one of the changes that we proposed in the committee substitute is that you require the notification and the approval of the police force that has jurisdiction over the location of the activity. And then when they have put in the first application for the permit for these types of activities, that's presented right together, the application and the approval of the police force. In a way, it kind of introduces a sort of local option. It gives the local community, through their police force, the opportunity to decide whether they want that activity or whether they're able to control it.
Well, I remember asking why. In fact, I know now it was the police and the fire department. I said I could understand going to the police, they wanted to see if somebody involved in this had a criminal background. Why the fire department? They said they wanted to know where you're going to hold this to see if the kind of event you're talking about would violate the fire code. So they did tell me that. I don't know if that's a procedure set down in these rules or not, but that was at least the procedure followed by those folks.
I wasn't aware it was our procedure, but it could be in a municipal code somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that it was your department, the Department of Revenue and Anchorage, that did it.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to speak to one other thing that Representative Barnes brought up, and that's the qualified organization. I think there's a natural fear that qualified organizations could suddenly spring up all over. However, qualified organization is currently defined in the statute. It's found in ASO 515.210, definition number 15, and it's defined. Dog, Mushers Association, Outboard Motor Association, or Fishing Derby, or nonprofit trade association, which operates without profit to its members, and which has been in existence continually for a period of 5 years immediately before applying for a license. So the definition itself restricts those organizations that could apply for this.
Are there further questions of the commissioner? Excuse me, what was your name again?
My name is Don Bullock.
Or Mr. Bullock at this time? If not, thank you, gentlemen, for coming to the committee. We do have Wally Hopkins and Anthony Florandu here. You may even make us ask some more questions or answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are you leaving right now?
I will stay if somebody's there.
I really would, and so that we can get down to kind of making some committee consensus on what we should do here, which direction we have is what we actually would like to know which direction to go. Mr. Hopkins, since we are recording electronically, I have to ask you to state your name for the record prior to making a statement on something.
Yes, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Wally Hopkins. I'm on the Executive Board of Directors of Greater Anchorage Incorporated, which puts on for a rendezvous in Anchorage. 5 out of the last 6 years, I've either been the chairman, vice chairman, or co-chairman of the Fur Rendezvous Monte Carlo event. Monte Carlo, from our historical files, has been a Anchorage Fur Rendezvous activity for almost 40 years, and it's been operated in substantially the same manner. We've basically operated, and we always felt that we had the intent of the grandfather rights, which show up as in the new bill is section 515.180.
Which bill do you have?
That's still in the current one. There's still provisions, I guess, in here for grandfather rights. Something else appears someday, I guess. That would be under section 5, the third page, under about number 4, I believe, line 4.
Yeah, I believe you're in the Senate bill, right?
Right, in the Senate bill with a substitute. Our event has grown to the point that we use over 400 volunteers to put on our event, and it produces about $50,000 in net revenue to help produce for a rendezvous. And this money goes to help on non-revenue producing events, like sports events and arts and crafts and many events. Give you a little history. In 1982, when we applied for our permit, we had a problem getting a caterer's permit. 1983, the same question came up on the caterer's permit, and there was discussion on whether we did actually have grandfather rights to be able to put on the Monte Carlo event. In March of 83, this year, the Attorney General's office put out an opinion indicating that we probably did not have those rights. And in April, I began working on both sides of the legislation, trying to draw up a bill to see if we could do something to get this legalized so we can continue planning for fair rendezvous. We have worked with the Commissioner of Revenue and his people and the AG's office, and we think we really have a pretty good bill here with this Senate substitute. And we would like to see it get passed through this year so we can continue our planning. If any of you have any questions on how a Monte Carlo activity operates, you know, the way Fair Rendezvous operates, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there questions from the committee or Mr. Hopkins? If not, Mr. Hopkins, I take it that your whole thrust of your review and of your testimony is in favor of the Senate version. So we know what we're doing. It's what they call CS, the Senate Bill 265, State Affairs.
Yes, the one dated 4/30/83. I would like to see the House adopt that version of it.
And have you spent much time reviewing the House version of 360?
Yes, I helped draft it.
You helped draft it, get your favor of the Senate bill.
Well, essentially, really what we've done here is we've added language that the Department of Revenue would like to have implemented into it with penalties and things of that nature. And it's still substantially the same legislation. It just goes into more definitions and penalties and more restrictions.
Are there other questions from any members for Mr. Hopkins? If not, thank you very much. Sandy, how's?
Mr. Chairman, I was going to testify also on the same bill, Mr. Hopkins covered everything. Mm-hmm.
What is the pleasure of the committee with regard to this piece of legislation? It seems to be, if I gauge this right, the administration's position seems to be that they favor 265 and had a considerable input in the Senate. The makers of the bill, even the makers of 360, have worked on the Senate portion to create that bill. Any of the committee representatives?
Mr. Chairman, you ready to move this bill?
Well, what I need to do is if we are in favor, if the committee is in favor of adopting a judiciary committee substitute embodying the language in Senate Bill 265 in this committee, I believe that would probably be a proper motion for this committee to create a committee substitute embodying the language in Senate Bill 265 as it now stands.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee substitute the Senate Bill 265, State Affairs, be moved to this committee and ask unanimous.
Well, that's any problem. I think what we need to do is, we need to create a committee substitute, judiciary committee substitute here. The committee substitute in state affairs for the Senate is provided for information only, and if this committee is going to move like legislation, we're going to have to adopt the language embodied in that that piece of legislation as it now stands, and consider that as a committee substitute before this committee.
You go ahead and word it. You know more about I know what you're saying.
Representative Barnes?
I'm going to have to add more to it.
Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee adopt the Judiciary CS embodying the language and CS for Senate Bill number 265, State Affairs and Act Related to Permits Issued for Games of Chance and Contest of Skill, and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? If not, before us then will be a committee substitute judiciary, and it will read House Bill 360, Committee Substitute Judiciary, and Act Related to Permits Issued for Games of Chance and Skill, which is the title from the original 360 House Bill, and the committee substitute will then embody the language as printed in the committee substitute for House Bill number 265, State Affairs. And if it's the desire of the committee to move that to the committee, it would be House Bill 360. Committee substitute to House Bill 360 Judiciary at this point.
Chairman
Hayes,
are you suggesting that we move it out conceptually about what isn't printed?
Well, yes, I am. It is totally printed before you. If it wasn't totally printed, I would have some objection to doing it. But it's in total print, and we will merely change the top and put the House top on. Representative Hayes.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Judiciary Committee substitute. First of all, we need to adopt the Judiciary Committee substitute.
We did that.
Okay, then I move the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 360, which be moved from the Judiciary Committee with individual recommendations.
Is there objection, Representative Malone?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question: I've got two drafts of. Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 265, and I presume we're talking about this.
They should be exactly the same. One's a draft, and the other one is, in fact,
maybe I've got three drafts.
The bill form.
Okay. It's the one that's drafted in the form of the bill prepared by legislative affairs. Thank you.
If Representative Malone, you missed that the Commissioner of Revenue, along with his assistant and two Fur-Rendezvous folks, all testified at some length about having a great deal of input, changing things around, as well as being authors of 360, so it's kind of all done in that concurrent. And I presume you're making that motion.
I'd ask unanimous consent, yes.
Is there objection? There being none, the committee substitute, the judiciary, for House Bill 360, an act relating to permits issued for games of chances. And Skeel will move for the committee today with individual recommendations. On completion of the signing of this, if there's nothing further to come before this committee at this time, we'll stand adjourned until 1:30 tomorrow.